Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cinephiles Extended Cut, the show where we break down the biggest stories of the week, as well as some other stories that didn't quite make the cut. And if you like this, be sure to subscribe to Mojo Talks for more movie and TV stuff. I'm your host, Matt, and we got Justin, Phoebe, and Liam at the end of the table,
yeah.
Guys. It's another edition. How are we feeling?
Very good.
Pretty good.
Excellent.
Pretty amped up.
Meh.
Excellent. It's earlier than normal.
Justin just said meh. Why would you say meh?
That's why we're
ready
recording
to talk
earlier.
Don't drag us down, man.
Ready.
We're counting on you.
I'm ready to talk about movies.
I'm ready.
So, what you watching? We know what you watching is.
Yeah. We don't know what each other were watching, though.
No, but we're going to find out. I'm going to throw it to Justin. Tell us what you've been watching, my friend.
Well, you guys might remember that last week.
Well, you finally revealed.
Yeah,
I was very, very secretive about.
To be quite frank, that was a little rude. You're like,
fair, fair enough. Well, this is my formal apology. I will tell you all what I watched last week and watched again yesterday. I went to the press screening of Deadpool.
Is that twice?
Two. Yeah, wow. I saw it last night again with my brother Brendan and my dad. Shout
nice.
Out. To,
shout out
to them.
To dad.
Nice.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it. You can check out our review on Watch Mojo. I did a review with Eric. We got our spoiler review coming out with Corey from Double Toasted. So you can get my thoughts on Deadpool 2 more than probably you need. All my thoughts on
Double
Deadpool
Toasted. 2. Are you breaking
up with
us? I was
there, and it's really good review.
Thanks, man.
So what'd you think?
Review.
Honestly, I really
sure
liked
I
it. I liked it more than I liked the first one.
Really?
I thought it would just, like, if the goal of the movie is to, like, provide laughs and, like, lampoon superhero movies, I feel like this movie does that more successfully actually than the first one.
It seems like the stakes are just like high. Like it's because like the first one is pretty self-contained, but
so is this one actually.
Really?
I mean,
but I like that about the first one.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Okay.
This one is probably a little bit more typical action, like stakes,
yeah.
I guess you could say. But it isn't like the world is ending.
Yeah.
Thanos
yeah, yeah, yeah.
isn't showing up with a
Imagine.
Gauntlet or anything.
Okay.
Thanos. How was the integration of all the new characters? Because there's quite a few new ones added.
I will not spoil that for
Are
you.
Are they not?
All I will say,
works,
all I will
it
say is Zazie Beetz as Domino. It just steals the show. She's
I love her.
Incredible.
It's pronounced Zazie.
That's literally what
yeah,
I said.
Thanos himself,
yeah,
Josh Brolin.
How's Josh Brolin?
Josh Brolin is great. I'm on like a Josh Brolin kick right now.
I think everyone
is.
He's
also in Sicario.
Shout out to another podcast. You may have heard of the WTF podcast. A small little podcaster named Mark Maron interviewed Josh Brolin. Really fascinating interview. Just got me really into Josh Brolin. I guess I always kind of liked him, but I was just like, oh, this guy's fine. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, check that out if you're also craving that Brolin. Right now,
yeah, I'm craving that
Brolin.
Craving
keep
that.
On rolling.
I think we all are.
Keep, I like that.
Keep
on
rolling.
Rolling.
Keep on
well,
rolling.
Let's roll right on to Phoebe. What have you been watching?
Let's roll right on to Phoebe.
Well, a little context. Liam and I had a little passion project of coming of age stories. We were working on from his mojo.
Yeah, it was
so,
very much a passion project.
Yeah, we were working very hard on
slaved
that.
Over it.
You guys bonded.
I slaved over it. You just helped.
I did. I would say I did about 50% of the work.
Like maybe 25, but anyway. So anyway, we had Superbad on the list. We had all these great movies. So I watched Superbad. It's
best
so,
comedy of all
it,
time.
It just like holds up so well.
I'm saying it.
It's just it's such a great film. It's so funny, and I think it really captures the like nuances, you know, of like friendship and growing up and relationships, but mm-hmm. in like this hilariously unique way. And Jonah Hill and Michael Cera are so good in that film.
Yeah.
It's just so funny.
I think it's got this like weird style to it where like right off the bat, like the opening credit sequence is like so trying to do like this 70s thing. And
yeah.
I think it like the rest of the movie just like carries that on.
Yeah.
I don't
Definitely.
Know. I love that movie. It's
yeah.
so funny.
It's very stylish.
Those are a lot of good movies on that list.
Yeah,
Edge of 17.
A lot
Fantastic.
Of movies. I haven't seen
I wanted to watch it again after
what,
we were
what was the list
it.
Again? Sorry. It was
Coming of Age movies.
Oh.
It's coming
check
out
it out.
On Ms. Mojo soon. Yeah.
Coming soon to a YouTube subscription box near you.
Ring that bell.
Ring that bell.
Liam, did you follow the trend of watching those top 10 movies?
No, I went to the theater again, but not by myself.
Oh, the
I actually had friends this time.
Oh,
shout out to
name them.
Shout out
name
Joshua and Dario.
Yeah, no one believes
cool.
you.
No you
one
guys all know
the audience.
Friends of the show, fans of the show.
Shout out.
They
shout
actually out. Tell me they listen every week. We saw the new Joaquin Phoenix film. You were never really here, which is
Lynn
not
Ramsey.
A sequel to I'm Still Here. Is that what it's called? I'm Still Here. His mockumentary
yes.
where you want to be a rapper. Yeah,
that's all. I didn't know it was out
was
already.
It? What did I already forgot the name of the movie? You're You were never really here.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's like I saw someone online say it was like a deconstruction of like the Taken type movies, which I think is a really interesting way to like look at it.
Deconstruction of the Taken movies.
You know Taken?
Yes.
Liam Neeson.
I did not get that from the trailers. Interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it's like it's a weird movie where it's like violent and like pretty brutal, but like most of it is off screen, and I think it's like, I don't know, it was fucking amazing movie. Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm totally getting mixed up. That's, yeah. I was thinking of the other Joaquin Phoenix movie with Jonah Hill.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
You won't get that far on foot.
He's got the longest movie titles.
That's why I was like, oh, I didn't get a deconstruction of Taken from that trailer. But now that I know which movie you're actually talking about.
No.
Completely.
Imagine if that one was a deconstruction of Taken. No, amazing.
I also got, what was it?
Taxi Driver.
No, not Taxi Driver. The Equalizer vibes, kind
of.
But I was like, this looks way
like
better
way
than the
more
poster.
Down.
Yeah. The poster.
There
was
are
very
some sequences
Equalizer.
In this. Like, there's one that is like this kind of like brutal like murder scene that I think is like so well done.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another scene towards the end that I think is like it's set to a score by Johnny Greenwood that I think is like maybe his best work.
Very nice.
Mm. Anyways, very nice. And I also watched Role Models. Speaking of 2000s comedies,
you've been talking about that for a while.
Role Models,
yeah. At least the last couple of days, I think.
So funny.
That's really
David
funny.
Wayne is one of my favorite comedians.
Nice.
Comedic directors, I guess. Yeah.
I just, over the weekend, I revisited Get Out. It was playing on one of the movie channels. And it's better like the second and third time you watch it, I think. You just always continually catch new things that you didn't really notice before. Just like the whole brother, he's like the skinny, scrawny white kid who loves fighting. No wonder he's like obsessed with like black people's physiques and like how strong they are. So it's just like
that,
like
the dinner scene
didn't
in that
see
movie,
that
like really blew me away. That guy I think is gonna go like be the next big thing. What's his name?
I cannot remember.
He was in a,
like Caleb Landry Jones.
Right.
Well, that's amazing.
He was in so many
Three Billboards.
Three billboards.
I feel like
also
he was a bit underused in Three Billboards.
I think he was
hilarious
among the many problems with
I think
that
maybe he just didn't stand out among all these other fantastic performances.
He did well in his scenes, though. He was really funny. His voice is so strange, and he's also in Twin Peaks, the revival season.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. Please don't
super
say
good.
Anything about
super
it.
Good. Cool. So that wraps up what you're watching. So we're going to talk about the three biggest stories of the week next. We're going to do that real soon. Okay, we're back. So now we're going to talk about the three biggest stories of the week, and we're going to start things off with a brand new trailer that dropped. Bohemian Rhapsody finally released the first trailer.
I know the song.
You know this. Everyone knows the song, I would hope.
Yes.
Phoebe, do you know the song?
I don't think I've ever heard it.
Oh, my God.
That's the
one
with
good.
We Will Rock You, right?
Well, that it does make an appearance in the trailer.
Correct.
So let's break it down a little bit. Rami Malek is starring. He wasn't originally supposed to star. It was supposed to be someone else.
Wasn't it supposed to be Sacha Baron Cohen for a
was.
Long time?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and then he dropped out. Then Rami Malek came in. So he's obviously playing Freddie Mercury. And the trailer is like super musical. There's not much dialogue at all. It's just basically a mishmash of all his biggest hits, basically. I really liked it. What did you guys think of it? I got pretty amped.
I thought it looked fantastic. I mean, like I think I was kind of skeptical about it because there was so much behind the scenes sort of drama,
yes,
like Bryan Singer
for sure.
was dropped and then they got a new director and people were like, you know, a little bit confused at Rami Malek being cast as, why am I forgetting his name?
Freddie Mercury.
Sorry, Freddie. No, I think it looks really good. I think the accent is a bit weird.
Yes.
I think that we talked about that I thought the accent was a little bit strange, but the film looks really good. He really looks like Freddie Mercury.
Yes.
Like his physical transformation
is
really
cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. I really like that the trailer was very musical. I think that that's what connects most people to Freddie Mercury. And I hope that they touch on his AIDS diagnosis. I think that that was like a bit of a concern for people on Twitter. People were kind of like confused, like, but they're not going to show it in the trailer maybe. It looks good.
I saw on Twitter some people who have seen like early cuts of it or something complaining like, oh, I wish they had touched upon like the more like gay aspects of his life and the AIDS kind of thing, but apparently they shy away from it a little bit. I don't know if that necessarily translates into a bad movie, but
I think that
it is cause
just
for
like
concern.
Ignoring like definitive, you know, things about him.
Yeah.
Those are like really, really important things that make you who you are. It's, if it's a story about him, you have to talk about that.
That's what I wanted to say was, so like I've been following this movie for a long time because I was excited when Sacha Baron Cohen was attached.
Yeah.
And there's like this crazy story that happened with this movie where Sacha Baron Cohen, I think, I don't know if he was going to write it or like he was very involved with the production of it, and he wanted to tell Freddie Mercury's life like as it was, and like it was going to be very dark, and it was probably going to be R-rated, where he was going to touch upon that stuff. But then Brian May, who I guess has the rights to the film, was like, no, we don't want to show him in this light. We want to be PG-13. And a lot of people were really mad, because I think Sacha Baron Cohen would have killed it. I think he looks like Freddie Mercury. Yeah. And like he's such a like flashy dude that I think he would have killed it. So that kind of weakened it a little bit for me, and the fact that Bryan Singer was attached, and it was.
Yeah. Were you disappointed when like Rami Malek was named as a replacement?
I haven't really seen him in much other than bits and pieces of Mr. Robot, and he's probably in some other movies.
In The Master. He's a very
I forgot about that. He's amazing. Master.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like these biopics that right off the bat are like, we're going to shy away from the reality to tell like
it's crazy.
This whole thing is giving me a lot of reminders of Straight Out of Compton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which did actually deal with the way that AIDS affected Eazy-E at the end of the movie. Spoilers for those who haven't seen or don't know the story.
Or the real life story.
NWA. Yeah. But like, I just felt like that movie really tried to paint all the characters in as like nice a light as humanly possible. Like Dr. Dre in that movie is a saint, like the greatest person who's ever lived. He never did anything wrong. When if you know anything about Dr. Dre, you know that that's not the case.
Yeah,
and it just worries me that like these movies are just basically giant advertisements for a re-release of a greatest hits compilation.
Oh, for sure.
That's what the trailer was.
So, they're gonna make a lot of money off the soundtrack of this movie, and good for them. Queen is one of the greatest rock bands of all time. If you look at their top five songs ever, and it's like how each of those songs is like a hit,
an anthem,
an absolute like cultural phenomenon.
Yeah. I almost feel like this movie is for people who only like that don't really know the darker side of his life. I don't know.
I still think it could be a good movie. It's just disappointing when you hear like just flat out like, no, we're not gonna tell the truth because it's too dark.
Yeah. Like Brian May, like we don't want to go there. It's like
it's such a miss because it's such a huge opportunity for the LGBTQ+ community to be represented in that light, and also talk about like the not so nice aspects and you know like AIDS and like that sort of darker topic. It's like it's such a good opportunity to bring it to everyone and say like this is how it is, and it affected someone who was like you know so amazing and so incredible, and it's just it would be a miss if they didn't talk about it.
There's a few like really good like music biopics, like Love and Mercy came out recently that was like blew me away, that really movie. And like that doesn't shy away from like the troubles he had.
That movie's
and he got like really screwed over. Also Walk the Line, which like nobody really thinks of Johnny Cash in a different light based off that movie, you know what I mean? Like I don't know why they thought to shy away from.
But that's interesting because Johnny Cash was it's not like he was ever a holy figure, right? Like no one ever thought of Johnny
Man in Black.
But that's the thing, like he always had that attitude, and I don't think having a movie that explored the darker side of his life really changed his public image, whereas
that's a very good point.
Maybe that's the case for Freddie Mercury, where people do kind of have this like, oh, he was a pop icon and let's leave it at that kind of behavior. And there has been for a long time people who were like, there's more to this story. He was like for a long time living like as a gay man, but like wasn't public about it in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I think it would be more interesting to see a movie that explores that than just like going through the greatest hits of Queen like visualizing them and giving him quippy lines. Like, I don't know.
I think this movie just seems like a wasted opportunity a little bit. Like the trailer is like, it's cool.
Great trailer. Really,
I thought it was great. Really?
Yeah.
I
mean, like,
a
lot of the shots look very true to life of, like, like, that stuff I thought was cool. But like, what we're actually going to get to see, like, I'm kind of like, all right, like, I wish I could see something a bit more true to life. Or
Totally agree.
And maybe it does dive into that. I mean, none of us have seen it. It's one guy saying that it doesn't dive as deep as he wanted it to. So, I mean, maybe we can keep our fingers crossed and hope it does touch upon some of that stuff. That stuff aside, like Phoebe, you mentioned before, it was a production nightmare, basically.
Yeah.
Bryan Singer was missing for like half of the shooting. Rami Malek got so mad that he like threatened to quit or wanted him to quit because it was just such a disaster. Are we afraid that that's going to hurt the final product at all? I mean,
I'm interested. Have they come out and said who's the director credit's going to? Is it the new guy?
Yes.
I guess they probably want to wipe that.
It was the director supposed to originally direct it, and then he left, and then Bryan Singer came on, left, and then he came back.
Okay.
I forget who his name is, or what his name is, but
well, I had heard that they had gotten like pretty deep into production when Bryan Singer just decided to go MIA. What I'm afraid of is that it'll feel like two different films, you know, like it's sort of the part where Bryan Singer was attached to it and then this new director. And I feel like a lot of the times when that does happen, it's a little bit disjointed. There's like two different visions. So I hope that's not the case, but
I've seen that a lot with Star Wars. I mean, Rogue One felt like two different movies.
True.
Remains to be seen about Solo. Sounds like two different, feels like two different movies. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
There's a very there's a very unflattering photo of Rami Malek. I think I've said it to you. It's so funny. It's where he's punching out into the air and it's like it's taken at the worst time. Yeah. It's like it's funny.
It's funny. Yeah, that one's so bad, but all the promo photos they had released before that, he's just like, whoa, is this actually like, Freddy? And then you see that one.
But then you see this like grainy photo of him like looking hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. So we're going to shift gears a little. Actually, we're going to shift gears a lot. So Cannes has kicked off. A bunch of screenings have happened, including the controversial Mr. Lars von Trier, who had been banned from Cannes for, what was it, 7 years or 11 years or something like that for Nazi sympathizer comments.
Oh, my God.
I watched that, I watched that video very recently.
Train wreck.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
The video of him?
No.
On the panel at Cannes? Yeah, it's hard to watch.
Oh, my goodness.
Even on the red carpet, he does some interviews, and he's just like, he barely talks, and you're just like, you're such a weirdo.
Yeah, he's a weird guy. Yeah.
Anyways.
There's also that controversy with Bjork earlier.
Exactly. Yep. So basically, he's a sketchy dude, to say the least, I guess we can say. Yep. He's finally back at Cannes. He has a new film called The House That Jack Built. And it's a Lars von Trier movie, so it's obviously marred in tons of controversy. This time it's pretty intense, though. At Cannes, you know, people boo. People walk out all the time. But at the pre-premiere screening, 100 people walked out of the screening because of a ton of reasons, one of them being Riley Keough stars. She self-mutilates herself.
Oh my God.
Yep. She cuts she cuts off some body parts. We'll say that much. Children get shot in the face with hunting rifles, and there are like numerous animal torture scenes. Or children rip off the legs of ducks.
That was in the trailer. That was in the trailer.
So needless to say, people thought this was disgusting. They walked out. They did not think it was art. One guy said it was gross, pretentious, vomitive, torturous, and pathetic.
Strong words.
Strong words,
We had a pretty heavy conversation earlier this week about this topic.
Yeah.
That we all, like, is this art?
That's
is it necessary?
Yeah, so that's my question for you guys. Is this shock factor filmmaking, shock factor filmmaking, I should say, is this art, or does this cross a line?
I have a lot to say about this because I'm someone who is more sensitive to violence in film, I think. I'm not opposed to it at all. I think that gratuitous violence does serve a purpose stylistically a lot of the times. You can take Quentin Tarantino films as an example. You know, it's very stylish. It serves a purpose to the film. And then there's violence that's, you know, solely for the purpose of shocking people. And whether or not I think that that's art is a different story. I just think that it's very lazy. And I don't like that kind of stuff. It's just too much. It's too far. It feels like he's not reading the room in terms of like the contemporary media landscape. You know, school shootings and stuff like that. It feels very tone deaf.
I almost feel that's the point as well, which kind of makes you question him even more.
Well,
you know?
That's the thing. It's the shock factor. It's getting people to talk about your films because they're so controversial and shocking. I think that there are other ways to tell stories because I'm sure that all of these scenes of gratuitous violence have deeper meanings. There are other ways to tell stories that are more creative than showing somebody mutilating themselves. The scene in Antichrist where she mutilates herself, and that was just, it was so shocking to me that it was just like, not at all. Okay.
It's
you know?
Like you go to Cannes, like, are you gonna remember the film where the guy shoots kids, or are you gonna remember like this? Like, it's just like, it's to get people talking.
Exactly.
I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, Justin, any thoughts?
It's a tough. It's a tough issue, right? Like, I totally it's within everyone's right to walk out of a movie theater if they feel uncomfortable or if they feel like what they're seeing on the screen is so outrageous that it doesn't deserve their time. I take issue with people on Twitter basically coming out and saying that this is like somehow like makes the film invalid as like a piece of art.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that shocking an audience, and I said this earlier in the week, I think that shocking an audience is a fully valid like artistic intention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that and it's been part of the artistic like landscape for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You think of like the black paintings, if anyone of you have ever seen the, I think it's Kronos eating his son.
Yeah.
Like that's a shocking image, right? Yeah. But I don't think anyone would dispute like the artistic merit of something like that.
That's an interesting point because I love that painting. I think it's dark, but it's like it just looks so cool. Don't read too much into that, please, guys.
But like, and you know, this the trailer for this movie is like very disturbing. But at one point, like, it's almost as if Von Trier like looks right in the lens, and he has the character basically say like, people assume that like when you show these shocking things in movies or in fiction rather, it's like a way to, it's like a release or it's a catharsis.
Yeah.
That you can't necessarily do.
Yeah, it almost seems like it's a test. Like he's like testing people. He's like, how much is like, am I going too far? Or like,
I think that's a fully valid artistic intention, despite the fact that I think Lars von Trier as a human being is a scumbag and a gross person, and I would not want to interact with him on any kind of level.
You like him a lot.
Every I love him. I think he's an important filmmaker, and I think that having someone within like the I guess you can't call it the mainstream, but within like the serious film conversation, making stuff that makes people feel uncomfortable is super significant and super important. Yeah. And I don't think that it should be. I think it's totally fine to be like it's not for me, but I don't think it should be completely like overlooked or taken down that way.
I think it's interesting because like I think about like the on-screen violence of children, and like there's such a like I think there's like a way to do that effectively and have it be off screen, and like I don't know, I look at a movie like you Were Never Really Here, and I heard so much leading up to that that like, oh, it's like this brutal movie and like it's kind of like very violent, but then like I watch it and like coming out of it I was like, man, you don't see anything in that movie, but like it's still like you feel this like uneasiness and like it's pretty like boundary pushing in that sense, like it's all off screen, but like you still like feel that sense and it's like shocking, and I feel like you could still have that same reaction. Like I don't think you have to like go as far as to like shoot kids on screen, like
you don't have
crazy.
To show everything. I feel like the implication of that sort of violence is and more effective in a way because it leaves it up to your own imagination to sort of picture how things would go down.
Mm-hmm.
And when you just show it point blank, like I agree with what you're saying. I don't think that it's invalid as a film because of the violence. I just think that it's like, it's just not effective for
it's
me.
Gratuitous.
For me personally,
it's certainly
you know?
Gratuitous. Yeah. But like, I don't know. That's a really interesting discussion, right? Because when you're thinking about like storytelling as like a communicative format, we're getting real artsy.
It is a Cannes film.
We are talking about Lars von Trier here. I think like, okay, you say in You Were Never Really Here a kid dies, right? But it happens off screen. Let's just say and then in von Trier's movie a kid dies on screen. In both stories a kid dies,
yeah,
right? But like I don't think that obviously you could make the argument that one is more tasteful than the other, but I don't think one is more necessarily more valid than the other. Both
that's
in both
a very
cases,
interesting point.
You're killing a kid,
but
in a story.
I think the difference is that you're allowed to draw your own conclusions from, you know, one where it happens off screen and you can just sort of let your imagination run wild, whereas you're showing somebody shooting a child in the face. In this day and age where that's like a huge gun violence against children is a huge issue.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is it better to imagine it?
I think it is. I think that art is you draw your own conclusions from things. And I personally like films that don't, you know, necessarily feed you everything and you can draw your own.
Yeah,
that's a stylistic thing. And I agree with that. But I'm talking from like if we're having the moral argument.
Mm-hmm.
And in both cases, a kid dies. In one case, you see it. In the other case, you're left to imagine to the like wildest possibilities. It could be as gruesome.
That's on you, I guess.
It's on you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't think that. I think that that's an interesting discussion. I don't think we're gonna solve this problem.
Yeah.
No podcast studio. But
we're the wrong people to be
asking.
We did
it. I think it's wholly immature for like professional critics to be like, "This is not art." Mm-hmm. Come on, man. You're an adult.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're a grown up. Grown app. I was going to say grown app on a phone. And then I was like, maybe that's too aggressive. You're grown up.
Yeah.
I'm a grown up?
You're an adult, Liam.
Thank you.
Fair points.
I think that's a pretty good way to close off that discussion.
I'm a little heated. I'm sorry, guys.
No, that's fair. Calm down. Yeah. It's a heated topic, man.
I kind of want to see it, though.
I do. I really
The trailer see. Looks fame? Fantastic.
The trailer, yeah.
The use
insane.
Of fame in that trailer?
That song alone is amazing, but to put it with the images in that trailer?
My jaw completely dropped when he ties the body behind his car.
Yeah.
Drives it across town, and he's admiring the blood stains all over, and then it starts raining, and his heart breaks, and he's like, damn.
I love Matt Dillon, too. I talked about him last week.
Yeah.
I like Matt Dillon in Something About Mary.
That's a very different
movie.
Tone.
Very different movie.
Is it? Yeah. So the next bit of news, it's Star Wars related.
Lovely.
It's Lando Calrissian related. So it's it's very interesting, guys. French public it premiered at Cannes, so it's another Cannes story technically. But this French publication called Premiere interviewed Kathleen Kennedy, and they released a quote from her saying the exact quote was or how they quoted her anyways was. We think the next Star Wars spinoff will be dedicated to Lando Calrissian. Of course, there are still many stories to tell about Han and Chewbacca, but Lando will be next. But they got it wrong. They messed up the translation. Lucasfilm reached out to them, and they're like, yeah, so basically, no, you didn't get it right. We're saying it would be cool to make a movie about him, but it's not important. We're going to focus more on Han and Chewbacca from now on. Yeah, which is kind of disappointing. Because all over the news for like a day or two, it was like, oh, the next Lando movie is going to come out. Donald Glover's going to get it, continue his role. And Donald Glover's like blowing up pop culture right
Well,
now.
And like early and reports of the movie seem like
he steals the show.
He's the best part of the movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of reviews saying like every time he's on screen, he completely steals
the show. So like,
I don't know why they're not
rushing out to do this.
It seems like the perfect time to just ride that Donald Glover
vehicle.
He's
such a hot commodity right now. Yeah. It would be such a smart business.
It would be. So it's weird that they're saying they don't want to do it.
And he's game. That's the other thing about him. Yeah. Like, he's such a prickly personality in a lot of interviews. Like, there was this big New Yorker piece when the new season of Atlanta came out, and it kind of painted it as a little bit of a, like, a, I don't know what the word is. Like, he was very, like, full of himself in this interview.
Yeah.
Like, okay. He was talking about how important, like, the show was culturally and like all this stuff.
I mean, he's not wrong.
And he's not wrong.
He's within his rights
to talk that way.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, this guy's in a Star Wars movie. Is he going to play ball? And then I see a video of
is he going to play ball?
Seriously, though.
In
Star Wars? You can't be that if you're in a Star Wars movie. You can't be about you and take away from. But then I see a video on the official Star Wars YouTube where he's like doing an MTV crib style video of the Millennium Falcon. And I'm like, okay, this guy's like fully in. He wants to be Lando. Like, he's totally committed to doing this thing.
I think if he's putting out the work that he's putting out with This Is America and Atlanta and, I mean, apparently Star Wars is amazing, like, he could do whatever he wants. Like, I don't think he has to play ball with anybody, to be honest.
I disagree. Like, you can be as big of a star as you want to be, but, like, if you're like, doing Star Wars and then on the side you're like, yeah, fucking stupid Star Wars movie that I have to do. I'd rather be doing my art, you know. I'd rather be doing Atlanta where I'm speaking to the cultural moment. The Star Wars is just a paycheck, which is like ostensibly the attitude that he was like spewing. And he didn't say that directly, but it made it sound like I'm doing this important stuff and then on the side I get to be like funny and stuff. But like, he's fully, you know, willing to be giving the tour of the like, you don't do that if you're also smoking cigarettes in your Parisian apartment, like, you know what I mean.
Well, when he was cast, like when he found out that he was cast in that role, apparently he said he bought like a whole pizza for himself, went home and just watched like The Empire Strikes Back and just kicked.
I feel
it.
Like he's like a nerdy guy. Like he's exactly like the way that his character in Community ended up, where he's just like freaking out with Abed.
Yeah, he has some nerdy references in some of his songs too. So it's not really out of the question.
For sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He's definitely a big nerd. It's just weird because it feels like there's like a dueling persona, right? There's
the
guy who makes Atlanta. There's Childish Gambino, and then there's the guy who's playing Lando Calrissian and guest starred on SNL. Like, I feel like those are the three,
that SNL.
Yeah.
The three prongs of Donald Glover right now. And it's really
the three hats of Donald Glover.
He struggles with that. I remember when he left Community, it was really sad. He was posting all these things on Instagram saying that he was like so confused about like the trajectory of his career and everything. And, you know, he wanted to be this person who was creating important artwork for, like you said, speaking to the cultural moment, and mm-hmm. also being this funny man, and he was like struggling with those sides of himself. And I feel like now he's embracing it, the duplicity of his personality, and it's just, it's so amazing. He's so incredible.
God, the hardships of being good at everything, eh?
Yeah, what do I no, do? But it's sad. It's sad because it's sad because I feel like he was put under a lot of pressure to be like this funny man, but he has more to him. He has more layers to him. He's mm-hmm. very complex man.
Amazing.
He is, yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited to see Solo.
Me decent. Too.
And I love Donald Glover, so.
We were talking about it before. Just, it seems like the perfect time for them to just green light this thing. And I've read some reviews too saying like, Donald Glover, he's amazing, he steals the show, but it's a little disappointing. He doesn't have that huge of a role in the movie.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
So if that is actually true, it just makes all the more sense that he should get his own movie, especially if everyone's raving about that performance. Should this be the next Star Wars project that Lucasfilm tackles?
I
think yes.
I've kind of argued this with people in the office that like I don't know why they're so tied to like this one group of people in this giant universe. Like mm-hmm. I just heard about Jon Favreau's new TV show, mm-hmm. and it's like takes place after Revenge. I think
in between
Return of the Jedi or something.
The prequels and.
But, like, why are they so taught? Like, there's so much going on in this universe.
But I guess it's also, like, when The Last Jedi came out, it deviated from that a little bit. And there's, like, obviously the huge uproar. Like, you can't mess with tradition. What is this BS? Mm-hmm. So if they do continue on
I
that
think
path,
those people
they
are
risk
Star Wars fans.
Whoa. You don't think they are? Or,
what's like
or
if,
they're
if
the
you,
biggest Star Wars
fan. If you're a Star Wars fan and you don't want to see anything
other than Luke's story.
If you
want to
see any progression in the, like, what do you, like, you're not a fan of
people,
anything.
I think people are just like, hey, there was these movies that were great. Then there was these other three movies. They weren't so great. And now the floodgates are just, like, wide open. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's valid to be like, I'm concerned at the Disneyfication of this franchise where it's just like, we got to have a movie every year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably get to a point where there's two Star Wars movies every year.
Which would be crazy.
In the near future. Because don't forget, there are two different planned trilogies.
That's a good
is
point.
Another one?
Yeah. There's the Ryan Johnson one, and then there's the one by the David Benioff and D.B. Weiss of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know about
also,
that.
Also making their trilogy of movies. And mm-hmm. those will probably be coming out around the same time. They haven't confirmed or denied this, but...
Yeah, they have to capitalize.
You gotta assume that these things, like, we're just gonna, it's gonna become the Marvel universe.
And then do you think they're gonna cross over with the Avengers?
Wow.
If for those of you at home, watch the Patton Oswalt from Parks and Rec, where he pitches a Avengers Star Wars crossover. It's fantastic. It's like
Disney,
20 minutes long. It's great.
That's a good point. I mean, they have to capitalize on the summer movie season and then Christmas, award season stuff. So. Those are the two perfect slots.
They've
for
got
two
their,
movies a year.
Their summer blockbusters, and then they've got their Oscar fair, like the little bit more artsy.
Yeah, exactly.
Will we ever see like Daniel Day-Lewis in a Star Wars story?
Daniel Day-Lewis is retired,
but he'll come
he's
out
never
retired.
Acting
he'll
again.
Come out of retirement
if they give him a Star Wars role.
Let me pitch you: Paul Thomas Anderson teams back up with Daniel Day-Lewis to do a drama set in the Star Wars universe.
How many superhero movies do you think have been offered to Daniel Day-Lewis?
Like, did you say Phantom Menace thread? That's totally brilliant.
Cheers.
How do we know?
That's incredible. Yes, Phantom Menace thread
nice.
Coming
that's
to a theater
idea.
Near you, 2020.
I'm in.
Cool.
Maybe.
So that's my answer. That's what I want to see before a Donald Glover Lando movie is.
Phantom Menace thread.
So we'll
Phantom
do that, or they'll do that, I should say. And then Lando gets his own movie.
Please.
And then maybe he wins an Oscar. Maybe Donald.
The EGOT.
For an EGOT.
Ooh.
Maybe he does it.
The next EGOT.
Excuse me. Okay, so that basically, that wraps up the three biggest stories of the week. After this, we're going to talk cutting room floor, because there's some stories that just didn't make the original cut. And we're going to get to that next. Welcome back to the Cinephiles Extended Cut. If you want to check out the show as an audio podcast, you can definitely do that on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Now it's time for the cutting room floor. So we're going to talk about one big... other story that didn't make the cut. Guys, let's be mature here. Phoebe.
Cutting room floor.
So the big story that didn't quite make the cut was another trailer, the Black Klansman trailer. Spike Lee's new joint. We've all watched the trailer. What did we think?
Looks great.
It looks hilarious.
Spike Lee is one hell of a filmmaker.
This is the first Spike Lee movie I've been really excited about in some time.
Same.
He just did that TV show on Netflix, right?
Well, it was based on one of his movies. I don't know how involved he was She's Gotta Have It.
Yeah. But he had just one of those token, probably executive producer.
Maybe he's more involved than I think. But yeah, it's been like he had Chirac a few years ago.
Which, like, nobody saw.
Yeah, I never saw that. But I'm genuinely very excited.
Old Boy remake?
Yeah. That I saw, but I kind of hate watched that one.
Yeah,
With Josh Brolin.
I was going to say, at the beginning of this podcast, I was saying how much I love Josh Brolin. An old boy, though.
He wasn't Brolin on that one.
No.
No one was.
I wish he would stop Brolin on that one.
See, that's the thing. Like, I'm very, when I watched this trailer, I was like, wow, this actually looks really good. And I was a little surprised because, like, we were just talking about, the last several of his movies have been real, like, clunkers. They haven't been at all. He lost his touch, I think.
If you make Do the Right Thing, you could do anything you want.
But that's so long ago.
That movie stands the test of time. You could watch that now, and it's like, he made that today, you know? Like, that movie is more relevant now than it was,
I think it's just forever 20, 30 relevant. Years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably his best movie. I don't think it's controversial to say.
Malcolm X.
I'm not to say that he hasn't made other great movies, but
Inside,
I think
was it Inside Man, Inside Job,
Inside mm. Inside Man. Yeah. I hope that this seems to have that kind of like racial political energy that Do the Right Thing had, and I hope that's the thing that takes control. Like, that's not like something that hasn't been present in his movies, obviously, but this just feels like it has more of the comedic kind of inviting tone of Do the Right Thing.
Where some of his other movies, they're obviously serious in their story, but like this one takes itself a little more lightly, Black Klansman, I think.
And it's dealing with very serious subject matter, so it's a testament to...
I think the title alone is pretty striking.
Yeah.
Like it was stylized with like the 3 Ks.
Yeah. It's a spelling error. Yeah. It's so shocking.
It reminded me of
how did that get through? Yeah.
Someone better got fired for that blunder. It kind of reminded me like the tone of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Actually, that's a really good point.
Oh, I don't know if that's like, interesting.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. It has that kind of like sprawling adventure kind of.
Yeah.
But also
KKK.
Violence.
Interesting. So we all agree that this looks like a thumbs up, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Looks great.
I'll end
Topher Grace coming back.
Topher Grace,
comeback.
Yes.
We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, it's true.
That scene in the trailer when the cop is just talking to him and he's pretending to be this Aryan white KKK member, I was dying. I was like, this is amazing.
Someone wrote on Twitter, like, Adam Driver has worked with like some of the best filmmakers in Hollywood already, just listing them off. I don't want to like leave anyone out.
Scorsese, Tarantino,
Ryan Johnson, and J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, I think right at one point.
And now Spike Lee, man.
What's his name? Who did Midnight Special? Oh my gosh,
I don't know.
I'm blanking on his name as well.
Jay,
I'm sorry.
Jeff Nichols.
Jeff Nichols. Yeah,
nailed it.
I got it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
And also it got, I think, what was it? Like a 10 minute standing ovation at Cannes. So
you gotta take that with a grain of salt, though. Yeah. People love to applaud stuff.
The Last House of Jack or whatever got a standing ovation also.
But I think
the two people that were still there.
They stood up and left.
And left, yeah. But at Cannes, it's true. There are like standing ovations all the time, but you judge them based on how long they are. So like House of Jack built, I think, like its actual premiere, it had like a 4 minute standing ovation.
It's like Rotten Tomatoes. It's like 10. 4 standing ovations out of 10.
Exactly.
That's so fun. Like, could you imagine clapping for 10 minutes? At some point, I would just be like, okay. Like,
it's exhausting.
Maybe you liked it a little too much.
That means they just loved it that much.
Every time, be like, everyone sit down.
Every time Xavier Dolan shows up at Cannes, he gets a standing ovation.
People are just on the red carpet. What a human being.
I love Xavier, though. He deserves
it. Oh, me too, but it's just ridiculous. Every time you hear a story, Xavier Dolan, Cannes, the next sentence in the headline is standing ovation.
Prix de jury, yeah. Although,
it's a scandal if he gets booed.
Oh, yeah. It would never happen.
C'est juste la fin du monde was not good, though. I will say that. So, new releases. We'll talk about new releases really quick. We have How to Talk to Girls at Parties, another A24 classic, maybe?
Based on Neil Gaiman's short story.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working on the Cinephiles, like the main episode, I noticed that, like, I don't know if it was a recent poster came out, and it looks like they're making this seem like a, like, quirky comedy. Like, the first poster was, like, this beautiful, like, Black Abyss and, like... it looks like really sci-fi, but then the new one's just like Elle Fanning and like the guy like kind of like smiling into the camera. It was like,
but it
weird.
Makes sense though. I mean, you watch the trailer and it's just like such
so bizarre. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
It's a Neil Gaiman story, man. He's all over the place.
Yeah,
I'm excited for that. I'm gonna check it out.
So that's coming out. It's limited release, so hopefully it comes out in your city, guys. But the big one coming out this weekend is the one you've seen twice already. Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2. Deadpool Go see 2. Deadpool 2, guys.
Yeah, we probably don't have to tell you to do that. You've probably already bought your tickets and such.
Probably sitting in the theater right now with your headphones and listening to this right as the curtains are about to open.
The movie's so nice, Justin saw it twice.
Guys, that's right. put your phone away. The movie's starting.
Yeah. You can listen to us after. You can listen to us after.
Pause.
PB had a little, the podcast. She didn't seem too excited when I said Deadpool 2.
Not interested?
You're kind of mad? I mean... It's no, it's not Deadpool. That. It's just I'm tired. I'm so tired of talking about superhero movies. I'm so tired of it.
Fair. You're off the show.
We have to talk about it every week. I know, and people care. I'm
superhero
just like,
movies? I think you just mean movies at this point.
Yeah. You mean Disney's?
Yeah, I'm just kind of tired of it.
I can see
I'm
your
oversaturated
point.
Personally.
Well, we got one point. More, and then we don't have to talk about them for the rest of the year. Actually, that's not true because new stories plenty. Come out, and I just lied.
Why right would you?
It's just ramping up.
Yeah. You fibbed.
I fibbed.
Avengers 4 is. I'm sure there's going to be headlines every week.
Well, the audience shouldn't be listening to this at this point. They should have put their phone away. Deadpool's
about to start.
And that's the perfect moment for me to say thanks for watching, guys. So if you like this, remember, it's the Cinephiles Extended Cut. There's also the original show you should check out that comes out on Friday.
Edited by me this week.
Edited by Liam.
My best work.
Don't forget about that. So if you like this, be sure to subscribe to Mojo Talks for more, and you can find this as an audio podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. So for me and my lovely cast here, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time, guys. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in, and don't forget to subscribe to our Mojo Talks YouTube channel for the video version of the Cinephiles Extended Cut.